If you would please this morning, turn to the Gospel of Matthew again, Matthew chapter number 4 today. Matthew chapter number 4, going to continue a thought that we started last Sunday morning and looking at some things about temptations and beware of the temptations, and going to continue that thought here this morning with the help of the Lord as you pray for us. And I pray that certainly again God will speak to our hearts and help us today in the service through the Word of God, and certainly challenge our hearts, convict our hearts, whatever's needed. Pray God will do that very thing in our hearts and lives today. Matthew chapter number 4, and then I also want you to go over to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, just hold your place there in Matthew, and certainly go over to John chapter number 4 as well. I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture there this morning as well. And again, I pray that the Lord will use me as I stand here this morning. I certainly need His help and His touch, and want God to speak to my heart and help me today. And certainly I want Him to help you and help each of us here this morning. And again, especially to that one that may not know Him, that today He would convict your heart and bring you to the realization today that you need Him. We started last week, as we said here, in Matthew chapter number 4. And of course we see the Lord Jesus Himself being tempted here, being drawn away by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we see several things about these temptations. And we begin to share some of those things last week that the Lord placed upon our heart. And so I want to continue those thoughts again today. And again, pray that there'll be a blessing and a help to each and every one of us here this morning. Last week, in Beware of the Temptations, we talked about certainly beware of the temptations that hinders our walk. And we talked about our daily walk and certainly a designated time that we spend with God each and every day. And then certainly a desire for spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. And certainly there's a lot of things around us to tempt us, to draw us away, certainly to hinder us in our daily walk. Today, with the help of the Lord, I want to look at beware of the temptations and certainly think about those things that hinder our worship. Those things that hinder our worship. And I want you to think about, I know a lot of folks don't realize today, but certainly worship is a very important thing in our lives. And certainly today we need to take into consideration that those things around us that tempt us, those things around us that wants to hinder us this morning, even right here with the wonderful choir singing and the Spirit of God, and certainly for those that can rejoice, and certainly for saved, we all should be able to rejoice and should rejoice today. But certainly as you think about worship and as we read the text this morning, I want you to think about your own personal worship today. And truly today, if you're allowing the temptations around us that Satan's placing around us, now he places them, that doesn't mean we have to give in to them, but certainly those things are there. Even in a service as this morning, there'll be temptations and there'll be things that will hinder us from truly worshiping our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ today, from our hearts. And so today I pray that we'll take that into consideration and also take into consideration the importance of worship in not only today as we're gathered here in the house of God, but each and every day that we live. Hey, we've got something to be thankful for. We've got something today that certainly we need to worship Him for. And so I pray that we'll take that into consideration this morning. Beware of the temptations that hinder our worship. Find your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's certainly okay. I want to look this morning. I'm not going to read all the verses that I read last week. Possibly we'll come back and read these again, all these verses, and tie some other thoughts in together that the Lord's placed upon our heart for future sermons. But I want us to look down in verse number 8, 9 and 10 here in Matthew, and then John chapter number 4, verses 23 and 24 is the verses that I'm going to read into your hearing today. Notice again now in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible says, and again, the devil taketh him up, speaking of the Lord Jesus, into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, notice in verse number 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Notice what Jesus' reply is in verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Now I want us to get a hold of this. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now I want to read that again, and I want us to think about our worship today. Notice what he says. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now I want you to look in John, the Gospel of John, In chapter number 4, in verses 23 and 24, notice what Jesus says as he's dealing with the Samaritan woman here. And you know the story, many of you are familiar with it. But notice what Jesus says in verses 23 and 24 about worship. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now notice what he says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for this day. Lord, to thank you for life. Lord, to thank you for salvation. Lord, to thank you for a place that, Lord, we can come in out of this old world, Father, for just a little while. And Lord, we can truly try to put our hearts and our minds off all the things around us this morning. And Lord, we could truly, Father, worship you today in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you today for the Sunday school hour, for the teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you today for the wonderful singing. Lord, for the children. Lord, all that's been done. Lord, every prayer that's been offered, Lord, Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you most of all today for the precious Word of God. And I pray now, Lord, as I stand in this place, Father, I realize that I stand in a place where no man can stand alone. I pray right now for a fresh anointing, for fresh oil. God, I pray to anoint my heart, my mind, and Father, my mouth, Lord, as I stand in this place. Lord, I pray that you would help me to recall the things that you put upon my heart, Father, for this very hour, Lord, this very service. And Lord, I pray that you help each of us today that are saved to take into consideration the importance of true, genuine, heartfelt worship to our Lord and to our Savior today. And then, Lord, I pray for those that could possibly be here today that's never trusted you as Savior. I pray that, Lord, through this service, that some way, somehow, that, Lord, you will convict their heart and bring them to the realization today that, Lord, what they truly need in their heart and their life today is you. Lord, I do love you today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for this place of worship and for this people. And I pray again as I stand in this place this morning, Father, anoint me. God, use me. And help each of us today to be obedient, submissive to you. And Lord, if we'll do that today, we can all go out of this place today saying it's been good to be in the house of God. I pray you'll use us now. Use the Word of God. Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Today, for a few moments again, to think about the thought of being aware of the temptations. Beware of those things, those temptations, those things around us that would hinder our worship. As we said this morning, just as the temptations around us will hinder our walk with the Savior, there's many things that will capture our hearts and our minds and our attentions. If we do not guard those, that will hinder our true, genuine, heartfelt worship to our Savior and for our Savior this morning. And so I want us to take into consideration today our own personal life, and I'm going to talk about this maybe just a little bit more in depth in just a few moments today, about our own personal worship life. And certainly today, again, we've got a Savior that's worthy of praise and adoration and worship, and certainly all the things that's been sang about and even taught about this morning in the Sunday school hour. We have a God today that is so worthy of our praise and our worship and our adoration. But I'll be honest with you today, there's many times in our life, but let me just say for my own life, if I'm not careful, I let many other things hinder, and certainly the things, the temptations of life around me this morning and all that's going on in the world. I mean, there's so many things that we deal with on a daily basis, and so many things that floods our minds and floods our lives. If we're not careful, even in a setting such as this, now, it ought to be easy to be able to come in here this morning and worship our Lord and our Savior. It really should. We've come into a place that is a friendly place. We've come into a place where people have placed their faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've come into a place this morning that has been certainly set aside and dedicated to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call the 11 o'clock service the worship service. But many times I'm afraid we come in and out, and certainly we don't really give him the adoration and the prayer. We don't just really worship him from our heart. And so today, again, we let a lot of things hinder us. As we said last week in our daily walks, And certainly in our devotional times, in our designated times, and certainly a desire for spiritual maturity. But today, again, we have a God that is so worthy of our worship and our praise and our adoration. So I pray that we'll take that into consideration today and beware of the temptations that hinder our worship. Let me give you three things, first of all, and certainly all these things are very, very elementary things, but things that I pray that we'll take into consideration. First of all, today, I want us to understand in the way of introduction, these three things are just in the way of introduction to get our mindset upon worship. The first thing that I thought about as far as worship's concerned today, that each of us need to understand that we were designed to worship. God designed us and God made us. And could I say today, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Today, God done a good job when He made us. Now, I know sometimes when we look in the mirror and we look at one another, we're thinking, wait a minute now, I don't know about that. But we are. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. If you think, if you'll just take the anatomy or the makeup of the body and certainly the all the things that make it work and go, I mean, man, it's a complex thing. And so we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God fearfully and wonderfully making each and every one of us here this morning, we need to understand today that certainly God made us for a purpose and God has a plan for our lives today, and I hope you understand that. But I want you to understand also something in this thing of worship, that we were designed to worship. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden there, when God placed Adam in the garden, and of course Eve come along later, and certainly all the things that happened there, I mean, just go back to the book of beginnings. The Bible talks about that Adam had a work to do, but then also there was a time that certainly God would come down, the voice of God, and they would walk together. That's walking with God. And then I think, Brother Randy, there was a time that Adam just had to worship God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, you can go back to the very beginning. I don't know about you, but this excites me. You can go back to the very beginning and see that God designed you, and God designed me, and God designed each and every one of us here this morning, that we would worship, that we would adore, that we would glorify, that we would live for God and for God alone this morning. I'm telling you, there's a lot of temptations out there that hinder our true, genuine, heartfelt worship of the true and the living God this morning. I'm saying to me this morning, God help me, hallelujah, to every day give a time when I honor and I glorify and I walk with you and I thank you and I praise you, hallelujah, just for being God. Hallelujah, this morning, church. We ought to just praise Him and worship Him just for being God this morning. Hallelujah. Because He's worthy of it. But understand this morning, in the way of introduction, somebody asked this morning if it's going to be a 2-tank day. I said, it might be. It might be a 3-tank day. I still haven't got a chance to explain that. I don't have time this morning. Maybe sometime. But to think about our worship and how important, and not only important, but how essential it is for you and I, because we have been designed to worship. God made you and I that we might worship Him. Now, I want you to know something in the being designed to worship. God does not make us worship Him. God does not make you be saved this morning. God does not make you walk with Him. God does not make you worship Him. But He designed you to do all three. And it's up to each and every one of us this morning who I'm going to listen to, who I'm going to follow, who I'm going to trust, who or what I'm going to worship. It is entirely up to me and it is entirely up to you. I'm saying this morning, God, help each and every one of us that we would focus our worship, our adoration, our praise upon You today. Because we were designed to worship. Not only were we designed to worship, but He, speaking of Christ and God the Father, not only did He design us to worship, but He desires that we worship Him. As I said, He won't make us, but He desires that we worship Him. I wonder today, If we would be honest enough with a person of the Holy Spirit of God and with the Word of God and God the Father and God the Son today, are we really spending adequate time? Because He desires that time with us of just worshiping Him. And that's what this service is all about. Now, when you think about the word worship, and I'll get into this in a little more depth in just a few moments, but when you think about worship, what do you think about? What do you certainly envision? What do you think about when you think about worship? Now, what a lot of people today interpret as worship, I'm afraid, is not worship. It's getting real quiet. You say, preacher, you're here this morning to throw... No, I'm not here to throw rocks and throw people in. I'm not here to do that. But a lot of times what we envision in our minds and what people call praise and worship or whatever you want to call it today, friend, is it really worshiping, adoring, praising, and lifting up the God of heaven? That's something we almost ask our own selves in our own hearts and minds because a lot of times I'm afraid of what we have envisioned as worship may not be worship at all. So today we are designed to worship. He, Christ, desires that we worship Him. But let me give you one more thing in the way of introduction. Not only are we designed, not only does He desires, but could I say that Christ deserves our worship? Can you think of anyone else or anything else in your life right now? I'm talking about right now at this moment, seated at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. Can you think of anything else that deserves your praise and your adoration and your worship and your time and your effort? Can you think of anything more deserving than the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Hallelujah. I can't think of a thing this morning that deserves my worship and my praise and my attention and my life. I can't think of another thing that deserves it more than the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world, the one that bled and died and suffered on Mount Calvary, that I could know Him today in a free pardon of sin. Hallelujah. Have my sin forgiven. Have my name written in the Lamb's book of life to know, thank God, when I leave this world, I've got a better place to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. 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 He deserves my worship and my praise and my adoration this morning. But isn't it amazing the things that tempt us and draw us away? Now, as we read last week out of the book of James, James tells us that, that we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Then it goes on and tells us when sin is finished, it brings forth death and all those things. Wonder today, when we think about real, genuine, heartfelt worship, am I really worshiping Him like I should? Now we see that Satan takes Jesus up here and looks out all over the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down, watch this, and worship me. Do you realize today that people are selling their soul out for a whole lot less than what Jesus was offered? And as we talked about this scripture last week, and it talks about Him being tempted, that word tempt there means to be tested thoroughly. Now, He was tested thoroughly, and thank God He passed every test. Now, I can't say that, and you probably can't either. But to think about, see, Satan, just like God desires our worship, Satan desires somebody to worship him. See, he wants to take God's place. And for some odd reason, down through the eons of time, he somehow or another thinks he's going to take God over. Well, I've got news for him. I've read the back of the book.
Amen.
Whoop, hallelujah. I've read the back of the book, preacher, and guess what? He wins. We win. And there's a place that old rascal's going to be put in one day that he ain't never going to get out of. Hallelujah. I think I'll just stop and praise him a while. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that one day that sorry rascal is going to be put just exactly where he belongs, and he ain't a-getting out. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, oh, my soul, we could preach and preach and preach just to think about how worthy he is of our worship today. But understands, oh, Satan desires worship as well. And here's the sad part. There's people all over this world selling their soul, in a sense, for a few moments of pleasure, for a few moments of prosperity, for a few moments of prominence. There's your three more points. Hallelujah. It's good when the Holy Ghost is a-running. See, he wants all that today. And he'll tell you you don't have to listen to that old leather lung, loud spitting preacher. Don't you listen to him. How you can have anything you want. Well, friend, there's pleasure in sin for just a little season. Praise God, I want something that's eternal. Amen. And that's what God's offering to you today. So this morning, I understand that we have been designed to worship, that he desires our worship. But that he too deserves our worship. Now, I may have given you this definition before, but I want to give it to you again this morning. The word worship, as it's used here in our text, and certainly many places throughout our King James Bible, you'll find that word worship. In the original Greek, it means, first of all, it means to kiss. Now think about worship. Now, when we think about kiss, I'm not talking about things that that are running through some of your minds right now. Hey man, you with me, aren't you? It means to kiss. But then it also has another definition. Now, this in the original Greek is what the word means, not only to kiss, but it means to be like a dog licking his master's hand. When you think about a dog and you think about that thing come up to you and he just gently just lick your hand. It's an intimate thing. That's what the word worship means. Not only that, but to kiss, to be like a dog licking his master's hand, to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence, to adore. That's what the word worship means. To place yourself down. And total homage. Remember Mary that anointed the feet of Jesus, and she began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. See, that's what she was doing. And kissed his feet. You know what she's doing? She's worshiping him. Oh, my soul this morning, children of God, if we could get to the place today that when our true, genuine heart, from our true heart today, genuine heartfelt worship under our Savior to the true and the living God today, I'm telling you, it'd be something so special and something so intimate today. Thank God that there's nothing in this world that would replace it today, my friend. So I ask us again. What is temptation? See, I thought about Mary there, and she wasn't concerned about the rest of them. She wasn't concerned about what they thought. Hey, man. Hallelujah, brother. I'm tell you, it didn't make a bit of difference what the rest of that crowd thought. It didn't make any difference, Brother Kent, what they said. Hallelujah. She was just going to go ahead and worship him anyhow. I'm telling you, there's too many temptations. We're looking at too many people. Amen, preacher. We're looking at too many people, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent, whether they've said something about us, whether they've done something to us. Hallelujah. It ought not to keep us. It ought not to keep me from worshiping the one that died for me. Hallelujah. Why? Because we've been designed to worship. He desires our worship. He deserves our worship. And that word worship is speaking of a true, genuine affection that we should have for our Savior. See, that's what Satan was wanting from Christ. Boy, I'm sure glad he didn't give in to him, aren't you? Jesus gives him the answer. And then in John chapter 4, as I read to you there, the Samaritan woman talking about worshiping God and worshiping in the mountain and all. And Jesus just lets her know right quick that if you're going to worship him, you have to do it in spirit. And it's not about the place. That's what Jesus is saying. Now listen, that's not saying that we shouldn't come in here and worship and all those things. I don't want to get into all that today. But Jesus is relating to her at that particular time, talking about that mountain and where they were supposed to come and pray and certainly all the things that was taking place there. He was letting them know it wasn't the place, but it was the person. If some people are not careful, they'll get to worship in a building. Now, I believe God deserves the very best. Don't you misunderstand what I'm saying. And I think God's people will take care of what God's entrusted to them. I believe that with all my heart. But don't you ever get to the place that this is what you worship. This building one day will be destroyed with the rest of this world. But hallelujah, aren't you glad the person? Woo, hallelujah. Aren't you glad the person? Thank God that died for the church. Hallelujah. And made you and I a part of the church. I'm talking about the living church of God. Aren't you glad today? Thank God that it won't ever perish. Hallelujah this morning. What a Savior today, my friend. Amen. Let me give you a verse of Scripture this morning. I'm going to have to move on. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Here, I'll just jump over and read it to you real quick. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, talking about worship. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus tells these scribes and these Pharisees. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Brother Randy, everything that looks like and maybe has some familiar surroundings of worship ain't always worship. I'm even talking about right here at Pleasant Grove sometimes if we're not careful. Whoop! Oh, let's get down where we live this morning. Worship's not about me and worship's not about you. Notice he says, they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know what that means, sister? It simply means this. When they sing to the right people, they say all the right things. And to these scribes and Pharisees, it was all about them anyhow. Or they thought it was. But Jesus says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. In other words, you're talking a good talk, but when you get outside of your buddies, when you get outside of the religious crowd, whoop, I'm preaching good. You get outside of that crowd that you're comfortable with talking about it, then you just talk about anything you want to. Hello here. Amen. You still somebody get out the CPR machines. We may have to shock a few back in right now in just a few minutes. Hey, man. Notice first what he says in verse number 9. But in vain. Whew. Now, these ain't my words. This is what Jesus said, brother. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of who? Of who? Men. That religious crowd of that day is not much different than some of the religious crowd of this day. As long as everything's in their court, as long as everything's going their way, as long as they get in their way, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Boy, but the minute it ain't. Wait just a minute now, preacher. I mean, if I could worship him yesterday, I ought to be able to worship him today. Amen, brother. If I worshiped him last year at this time and God give me breath and life on this side of eternities today, you know what I ought to do today? I ought to worship him today. I ought to worship him here. I ought to be able to go down to Walmart and lift up my hand to the God of heaven. Hey, man, preacher, I ought to be able to go anywhere God leads me to go, wherever God takes. I ought to be able to go to Miller's Creek Elementary and raise my hand. Hallelujah, and glorify the Son of God that gave himself for me. I'm telling you, wherever we go, whatever the situation, we still ought to be able to praise God today. Hallelujah. Amen. But we let the temptations, the hindrances. Oh, my, I'm having fun this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm having a great time. Beware of the temptations that hinder our worship. I wrote this down under the definition of worship, and I want to give it to you before I move on. I wrote this down, beware of disguised worship. He's designed us to worship. He desires our worship. He deserves our worship. But beware of those things that are maybe look like worship, but what it really is, it's been disguised. And it's really not worship at all. See, the devil's good at what he does. Would you agree with me? He's good at what he does. He come to the Lord Jesus himself. Now, if you'll notice in the other temptations, he said, if thou be the Son of God. He didn't say that here. See, the devil's always trying to question things. See, if you'll go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that Satan always tries to question what God's already established. He was, he is, and he will always be the Son of God. Period. Then he gets him up there and says, I'm going to give all this to you. Some question as well was said, well, did Satan really have it to give? That's something I'll let you ponder on. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. So now, whether you take this thing of worship serious or not, you need to consider in your own heart and your own mind today, who it is you're worshiping or what it is you're worshiping. Because you've been designed to worship and you are worshiping something or someone. Unfortunately, some people worship their children. God didn't give you your children to worship them.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. I'm probably just going to get plumb. You're probably just going to get plumb sideways because I'm going to get plumb off course of where I even got wrote down this morning. Some of you today, if you're not careful, you'll begin to worship your own children. In other words, you will put them in a place above and beyond that of your Savior. Hello? Now, He gave you those children to love those children, to care for those children, to lead those children, to direct them, to teach them the ways of God, but He doesn't want you to put them over Him this morning. I don't know why I said that, but evidently God said it needed to be said, so I said it. There it is. And I'm not going to charge you another thing for it. But you don't worship those children or that child or those grandchildren. See, I know what it is to be grandchildren. I know what that is now. And as everybody said, if you could have had them first, that would have been the way to go. Amen. Amen, Brother Randy. Amen, Brother Kent. Are you with me? But he didn't give those children. He didn't entrust those children to us to worship them. Husband, God didn't give you that wife to worship her. He gave you that wife to love her, to take care of her, to be your helpmeet.
Amen.
Amen. And to have a relationship like none other. Oh, it's so special today, my friend. But yet again, you're not to worship her. Ladies, you're not supposed to worship your husband. That was a little bit hard for me to say, Brother Randy, but
whoa.
I got you, brother. Oh, we like to think about it once in a while, don't we? But in all honesty, God didn't give you that husband to worship. He gave you that husband to adore, to love, to have a relationship with. And that's so special. But then there's so many other things that if we're not careful, remember that temptation is when we're drawn away of our own lust. If we're not careful, our hearts and our minds will override what we know is true, even in the Word of God. Old Satan will slip around, get on his shoulder. Well, God understands. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, friend, I'm going to be honest with you. If you've lived for God at any time at all, and he ain't jumped over upon your shoulder once in a while and said, is that really what God was talking about? Because again, remember, he will question what God's already established. And if he questioned it to the Savior, if he questioned it to Adam, then I can promise you he's going to question it to you and I. So I wonder today, now let's get this thing back on course, get it back on track. When we think about worship, who is it and what is it that we're worshiping? From the heart. Now, thank God for our children. Thank God for our spouses. Thank God for a church building. Thank God for a church family. I mean, on and on and on. Some people will worship the career they have. Nothing wrong with having a good career. Nothing wrong with having a great job. Nothing wrong with having a great education. All those things are great. All those things are fine as long as we keep them in the perspective that they need to be kept in and the priority that they need to be kept in. Oh, my.
Right.
Brother Archie, we could even make our hobbies. Now, I'm not picking on you, brother. You know I love you. But we can even make our hobbies that we enjoy, and God give us those to enjoy. There ain't a thing wrong with it. Brother, if you like to box and hit people upside the head and that's your hobby, go at it. It's the only thing I know to tell you. Amen. Good to have you in the house of God this morning. Amen. If you like to deer hunt, go deer hunt. If you like to go fish, brother, go fish. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You like to play golf? Go play golf. But don't let it become a place of worship.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, preacher, I would never allow that to happen. If we're not careful, we will. Honestly, we will. In other words, we'll let that begin to take priority over our true worship of the Savior. Hallelujah. Aren't we having a good time now? I've got to quit. I don't know why, but I do. Beware of the temptations that hinder our worship, our genuine worship of Christ in spirit and in truth. Let me say a couple quick things today about our personal worship, and I'm going to soon close. What does our genuine, heartfelt worship in spirit and truth in our personal worship, what does it show? Number one, it shows gratitude. It's going before God and saying, Lord, I want to thank you. Can you think of anybody that ought to be more thankful than you and me this morning? True, genuine worship shows our gratitude. Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done for me. Not only does it show gratitude, but let me give you this. It shows not only gratitude, but it glorifies the Savior. See, true worship does not glorify the individual. That's the reason I say you need to be careful of this, sometimes this disguised worship. Because true, genuine worship in spirit and truth, as Jesus has instructed us in the Word of God today, glorifies none other than the Savior. I don't care what song you sing, the testimony you give, the message you preach, the lesson you teach, it must glorify the Savior. If it doesn't glorify the Savior, you better leave it alone. I talk about our personal worship. Personal worship glorifies the Savior. It shows genuine affection. Remember a definition of the word worship. It shows genuine affection. It shows genuine attachment. It says we belong to somebody. See, God always had problems even with the children of Israel, the idols and all the things. But could I say it's no different today? Genuine, heartfelt worship in spirit and truth not only shows genuine affection, it shows genuine attachment. That we belong to somebody, and not only do we belong to somebody, but we belong to somebody greater than ourselves. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that. That we not only belong to somebody, but that we belong to somebody greater than ourselves. Sometimes we'll get to think a little too much of ourselves if we're not careful. It shows affection. It shows genuine attachment. It shows genuine adoration. It's interesting as you study the word adore or adoration. That word, the first thing that word means, it means to put in order. Oh, I could preach here a while. Wow! But when we adore Him, you know what we're doing? We're putting things in order. Him first. Him first. That's what the word adore means. It means to put in order. It means to decorate. It means to garnish. That's our personal worship. Let me give you one other thing before I close this morning. Not only do I think about our personal worship, but then I think about our partnership in worship. You say, preacher, what's that? That's what we're supposed to be doing today. Isn't it good to be able to come into the house of God with God's people and just worship God? No, with no fear of the things around us today. Just worship God. That's what we call this, a worship service. But not only our personal, but our partnership, our coming together. Let me give you a couple things about our coming together, and I'm done. Our coming together in worship, first of all, edifies the Savior. It lifts Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. not only does it edify the Savior, but it encourages the saints. You want something to discourage the saints of God? Just go through a period of old, dead, dried up church. Brother Scotty, I refuse to go through dead, dried up church. Amen. You say, why'd you call that Brother Scotty? He's the choir leader. He gets dead and dried up, I'm going to boost him up a little. Not that you have, brother. You're doing a great job. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, was right online this morning with a song. Thank God for that. What does that do? That edifies. Hallelujah. Thank God the saints of God. It gets them ready for the preaching of the Word of God. We need to be encouraged. It edifies the Savior. It encourages the saints. True, genuine worship of the Savior will encourage the saints of God. Have you ever come in down, discouraged? I don't know about you, but I come in here Wednesday night, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't discouraged or really down, but man, I was needing something. And people begin to just get up and brag on Jesus, what Jesus has done for them. Such a sweet spirit. Oh, I thank God for that. Why? Because we need encouraging. And true, genuine worship will encourage the saints of God. It'll edify the Savior. It'll encourage the saints. Let me give you something else. I know I've got to quit. It energizes the saints. It'll energize you. It'll get you excited. I'm not talking about foolishness and things out of order. I'm talking about, praise God, just worshiping the Savior. Waving a hand, getting up and crying hallelujah once in a while. Saying amen once in a while. Listen, I understand everybody worships different. I'm not saying that at all this morning. But thank God if there's something as big as Jesus on the inside of you, and they begin to sing about the blood, and they begin to sing hallelujah to the Lamb of God, it's going to cause you to want to do something. It's going to cause something to come out your eyeball. It's going to do something. It's going to have an effect on you. Amen. Don't want no dead, dried up church. I realize we're going to go through seasons, hard times, hard shifts. But that doesn't mean we got to quit worshiping. Matter of fact, that's when we ought to buckle down and worship that much more. God big enough to put me in the storm. God big enough to get me through it and take me out on the other side of it. Hallelujah. Man, there's something about this partnership and worship. It edifies, it encourages, it energizes. And lastly this morning, our partnership in true, genuine worship, where we adore, when we put in order, when we decorate, when we garnish the Lord Jesus. I want to say this morning. In the power of that worship, it'll have an effect on the sinner. You can't tell me that genuine worship of the Son of God that bled and died and suffered, and us just giving Him glory, doesn't have an effect on the sinner. They're going to have to sit there and go, you know, there must be something about this stuff. Well, I tend to agree with that. Hallelujah. There's a lot about this stuff. Amen. And it's good. Amen. And there needs to be something that has an effect on the sinner. Now, I understand there needs to be singing, there needs to be preaching. But I'm talking about when we really worship Him. It'll have an effect on, it'll get them under Holy Ghost conviction. It'll get them to thinking. See, because what it does, it will penetrate the heart and the mind and get them to thinking, man, I must be really missing out on something. And could I say with that, Jesus, you're missing out on it all. There's no wonder sometimes we cannot convince our loved ones. We cannot convince those that come in our church doors. We can't convince them that we work with, that we go to school with. It's pretty hard to convince them that what we've got, they need, when we don't never thank Him for it, don't never worship Him for it, and all we can do is complain and bicker and gripe about what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we do have. Amen, preacher! Don't make me preach another 30 minutes. I mean, come on. Get with me here now. We're about done. I want you to understand something today. Who you worship, what you worship, and the way you worship will have an effect, whether it be good or bad, on somebody. I want you to leave here today with that thought in mind. The way that you worship will have an effect. Who, what, and the way you worship will have an effect on somebody around you. I don't know about you, but I want to have a positive effect of my own personal worship, of our partnership in worship, where it would penetrate the heart of a sinner and help them to see that Jesus is what they need.
Amen.
And could I say today, friend, Jesus is what you need. If this is the only place we ever even have the frame of mind to worship Him or thank Him, friend, we need to change the way we're thinking. God ought to be praised in our homes.
Amen.
Right. Amen, brother. What temptations are getting in your way of true, genuine worship? That intimate, irregardless of what anybody else says, anybody else does, Jesus, I'm going to worship you. What's getting in your way? Let's stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty, in a song of invitation. Father, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time that we've been able to spend around the Word of God this morning. Thank you for the liberty, Father, in which to preach the Word of God. And Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this service, if, Lord, there's someone here today that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that right now in the stillness of this service, I pray that, Father, you would penetrate their heart and their mind. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to take into consideration where they're going to spend eternity and that relationship that they could have with you. And then, Lord, today, for those of us that are saved, Lord, would you help each of us to look within our own heart? Because, Lord, I know within myself this morning as I stand here in this pulpit that, Lord, there's nobody more that I'm preaching to today than to me. Because, Lord, I realize that there's been many times and areas of my life where I've just not worshipped you and honored you like I should. And, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of that, because you sure do deserve my worship. Lord, you deserve our adoration, putting things in order. So I pray right now in the stillness of this service this morning as, Father, you speak into hearts that, Lord, folks would just be obedient. Lord, if there's things that they're letting stand in the way of them worshiping and putting you first, then, Lord, this morning I pray they come just talk it over with you. Lord, I'm glad they don't have to come tell me a thing. Lord, I pray they would come today and just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me in my worship, because worship is so important. Worship is so vital, because you have designed us to worship. Help us to worship you. Again, touch that soul that may be without Christ. May they come today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, as we sing,